You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Alexander, you're listening to the Political Cesspool's live broadcast Saturday, December 19th. And this is our last show before Christmas, and we're going to give you some of the most inspirational and uplifting Christmas carols of all time, all sung by Celtic Woman, and they are just as good to look at as they are to listen to. And it's just beautiful, glorious music, and we'll be sharing in that tonight, this very special and spiritual time of season. And I am not the only one feeling the love, ladies and gentlemen. Our whole audience, Keith, has just been, they always are, but especially this month, they have just been incredible. I went to the mailbox for the program a couple of days ago, and it was just a sea of red and green envelopes when I opened up that door. If I go back again, I'll probably have to take a wheelbarrow so I can get them all in one turn. So many Christmas cards being sent in from listeners of this show all over the world. And that is what really motivates this show. It's a love of our people, a love of our heritage, a love of our culture and our faith. This from Peter in Oklahoma City sent a beautiful Christmas card of his incredible family.
Beautiful. I'm just going to run of his family on there, by the way.
Listen to where these cards are coming in from. I enjoy doing this, but here we have a card from Nathan in White River Junction, Vermont. Here's one from Susan in Merrick, New York. Got a letter here from David in Ohio who says, thanks for having me on your show for a few minutes several years ago. I mean, this guy remembers that. And we remember you, David. Thank you for your support. This comes in from Elizabeth in one of the beach towns of Florida. Beautiful Christmas card with a nice red cardinal on it. From Micah in Maryland, a nice Christmas card. On and on and on. Bill in California. Glenn in Baltimore. This guy, Jimmy, in Ephrata, Washington. God bless you, Jimmy. Jimmy has sent in three contributions this month and three Christmas cards to me, Eddie, and Keith, respectively. Thank you, Jimmy, for all of that. Bill in Kentucky. And here we have one from Clive. Keith, Clive in the United Kingdom, and this just goes to show how observant our audience is. He lists everybody. He doesn't forget anyone. To James Edwards, Keith Alexander, Eddie Miller, Winston Smith, Scoop Stanton, Sean Bergen, and Sam Bushman, with all good wishes for Christmas and the New Year from Clive and family. This is a long overdue acknowledgement, he writes, of your sterling work in telling the truth and helping to lighten the darkness and the politically correct plagued nations of the Western world. A beautiful card there from England, Keith. And then finally, Roger writes in, dear James and crew, Merry Christmas to you and the Political Cesspool family. And that's what we are, ladies and gentlemen, a family. Just sent you a donation, not large, but I couldn't refuse. Thank you for getting this truth out. This is a difficult struggle, but the truth will prevail. Stay well and stay strong. And that is from Roger in Auburn, Pennsylvania. Just an incredible outpouring of support. Not just the Christmas cards. I'm hearing a little feedback in my headset. It seems like it was from earlier in the broadcast. I don't know if that's going out over the air. But we've got contributions this month from Monroe, Georgia. This is actually just since the last Saturday night when we went off live. Monroe, Georgia, Sherwood, Arkansas, Baltimore, Pleasant Hill, Iowa. Listen to these cities, folks. This is Cesspool Nation. People all over the world listening to the Political Cesspool. Jefferson, Louisiana, Cedar Hill, Texas, Rockville, Maryland, Lincoln, Nebraska, Cedar Rapids, Iowa, Fort Valley, Georgia, Merrick, New York, Essington, Pennsylvania, Solon, Ohio, Plano, Texas, Pickens, South Carolina, Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada, Centerville, Alabama, Seattle, Washington, Blue Mountain, Mississippi, Memphis, Tennessee, of course, Collierville, Tennessee, Beecher, Illinois, and then John up in Folsom, Pennsylvania, another guy that has donated 3 times this month. And I want to thank the people who are donating for the first time. We've had some of those. People who donate every quarter, like Brian in Arkansas, Keith in Canada, Buddy in Arkansas, and everyone in between. Keith, this is an amazing time of faith and family, and the family of our listening audience has never been more generous with these cards, with these contributions to keep us on the air. Folks, if there is a more responsive and a more loyal and dedicated listening audience in all of American talk radio, I'd sure like to know where they are.
Well, you have to ask yourself, what would motivate somebody to make 3 contributions in 1 month? Well, I've pondered that, and I've come to the conclusion it must be that they feel it's so important to keep us and our message on the airwaves that they can't afford to neglect financially supporting our mission here. And, you know, that makes us, that humbles us and makes us very, very serious, realizing that there are people that are depending on this show almost like it's a lifeline, James. We've got to keep it up. We've got to keep up the high quality. We've got to keep up the effort. And the world is changing, and it's changing in our direction. We're finally getting people to show some backbone and stand up. What's happening in Europe with Marie Le Pen, what's happening with Vladimir Putin, what's happening in Russia with Vladimir Putin, what's happening in America with Donald Trump. This is something that is giving voice to the dispossessed majority in those nations. Liberalism is encountering real opposition for the first time in years, and we're part of that. We're part of the seminal effort. We're the seeds that have grown in, the mustard seeds have grown into the big mustard plant of conservative opposition that is finally on the verge of taking some power away from the left. And that's why it's vitally important at this time that we continue with this work.
I ran into a guy last night here in Memphis who says he listens to us every week, but not as you may think, not live, not even in the broadcast archives, but at 4 a.m. on Saturday morning. Folks, we get replayed here on the local station, AM 1600, a few times each week, and he listens to us at 4 a.m. on Saturday morning to the previous week's show. I guess that works best for his schedule, but folks, however you're tuning in, there is something very real and very tangible, and it's something you can feel.
And it's making a difference.
And it is making a difference, and we hope we're making a difference through your love and support. But my goodness, at this time of goodwill, at Christmas time, we've never felt it more demonstratively. We'll be back right after this.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, folks, we're going to try to give you a good show tonight. We always do. But if we don't do anything for you tonight, surely the sounds of Celtic Woman playing these traditional Christmas hymns will do the job. I think that they will, and we're looking forward to featuring them at the top of each segment tonight. You can't do this any time but Christmas, Keith, and there's really not another time of year like Christmas. I've tried to put into words some of the feelings and emotions and this outpouring of love. You know, everything we do on this show is motivated by love. Hatred isn't isn't an emotion powerful enough to get me up and to motivate me to take time away from my family and to suffer all these scars. You know, but love will, and love is what drives our message and what drives our audience's response to it.
Well, you know, this music, Christmas music, has a special place in our heart because it not only celebrates our Christian heritage, it celebrates our Western civilization, or, if you will, white heritage as well. All the grand old Christmas carols and hymns, things like God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen, The First Noel, The Holly and the Ivy, all of these traditional songs are imbued with an old Anglo-Saxon culture. They're part of that, and they are reminiscent to that, and they connect us with our roots. And that's, you know, we need to understand that Christianity is basically viewed by the entire world, whether they want to own up to it or not, as the white man's religion. And this is very good for us. It's very good for us to connect with our roots. For example, when I hear an old English boys choir, for example, singing these traditional hymns, we know that we're celebrating our heritage. And our heritage is under attack. This is a way to fight back by celebrating Christmas.
Keith, I want you to listen to Good King Wenceslas on the way home. I know that's got to be a favorite.
It is.
You going back to your English heritage. Your mother was a war bride and is English in her own right. So, anyway, I got a story here. And by the way, folks, you know, we're not being self-indulgent. I enjoy – we only do it during the months of the year that we do a fundraising drive, but I really enjoy doing a roll call and trying to acknowledge as many people as we can. Forgive me if we, you know, overlook anyone, but we try to go through as many cities from which we've received support because it's just so impressive. Not what we've done, but what you've allowed us to do, what you've done for us, all of the support. Some of those cities I've never even heard of before, but we've got listeners there, and it's just such a tremendous honor. They're tuning in to hear commentary, race, realism, commentary, critiques on Jewish power and influence, and everything else that makes this show so special. But I got an email this week, Keith, a news tip from Kimberly in Missouri, and you know Kim.
Oh, absolutely.
And, you know, talking about how attractive our audience is, I mean, Kim's just an absolute beauty, and she's got a beautiful family and a great husband, and they're friends of ours. And she sent me this story, which is just complete savagery. And keep in mind that the people we're about to tell you about are leaders of a large city, but the black mayor of Birmingham, Alabama, and one of the black city councilmen got into a brawl while they were in session. This is the story from CNN.
They took it outside, apparently, as they
well,
say.
Well, they kept it. They didn't even bother to do that. They just did it right there on the floor of the chambers. This is from CNN. A bloody back... I got to watch my tongue here. I almost said black room. A bloody backroom brawl between the mayor and a council member who has now been charged with third-degree assault in Birmingham, Alabama, landed them both in the hospital on Tuesday. Mayor William Bell and City Councilman Marcus Lundy got caught up in a verbal dispute before agreeing to take their differences into a private location, which was the room behind the chambers, if you can call that private. But everybody could hear them beating the hell out of each other.
The jeebers out of each other.
So they went in a room behind the public chambers, according to witnesses and reporters. In a police report made public hours later, the mayor told officers that the councilman initiated the conversation, and then it delved into personal issues before cursing him and getting loud. At that point, the mayor told police the councilman prevented him from leaving the room and then grabbed him from behind and put him in a chokehold. According to the police report, the alleged assault was only ended after two of the councilman's aides arrived. The mayor, his office expects him to be released from the hospital this week. He had a CT scan and an MRI. His condition was not immediately known. A spokesman for the mayor's office declined to comment to CNN on the cause of the fight. And then we have pictures. This, you know, they've been like biting each other. You've got blood wounds on the leg. On the
bite marks on their legs.
But, you know, this is it. This is progress, Keith. Alabama and Birmingham especially have progressed so much since the days of Governor George Wallace. So this is good. This is encouraging.
Well, you ought to look at the website Stuff Black People Don't Like, which is manned by the one and only Paul Kersey, and look up Birmingham. Birmingham was the first city in America. It predated Detroit in this distinction of going bankrupt. The white people that live in the Birmingham area not only live outside of the city, they live within the city in separately incorporated municipalities like Homewood. And I tell you, I have never been so desperate as I was once when I was leaving a soccer tournament in Birmingham, in Homewood, and got on the wrong road, and it seemed like I was in the never-ending ghetto. It was never going to end. It was just, it was the bleakest thing that I ever saw, and, you know, nightfall was coming, and believe me, I said, this is not a place you want to be. And sure enough, with black leadership, black political leadership, this city has gone further and further down, plumbing the depths. Paul Kersey's written a book about it called Birmingham, the Magic City, basically chronicling this decline. And this is just more fuel to the fire, more of another event to chronicle the decline of a once great American city due to liberalism spurred by racial animus towards whites. When you drive out, you know, if you kill the dog, all the fleas will die, as we say, and that's what's happening in places like Detroit, Camden, New Jersey, Birmingham, Alabama, Oakland, California, Gary, Indiana, East St. Louis, Illinois, any of these places, the prosperity, when white people leave, prosperity is never far behind, James.
Well, that's right, and liberalism has certainly been a problem in all of these cities, but liberalism will not cause this behavior, and it will not cause the blight that you see in cities like Selma. I mean, you look at liberal bastions like Austin, Texas, and Boulder, Colorado. Yeah, we wouldn't want to live there because they're just quasi-socialist cities, but you don't see this kind of behavior from the mayor of the town, and you certainly don't see the absolute desolation and destruction of a city. It looks like it's just been hit by a nuclear bomb, as you will see in Detroit and other majority black cities. So there is a demographic problem that certainly supersedes liberalism when you're talking about the decline.
Well, liberalism is the technique. It's the strategy by which they affect this transformation. That's what is this is the secret strategy that they use. Liberalism is the modern face of evil. All of the changes that have been wrought in Birmingham to cause a decline in the level of civilization and culture and decorum and civility in government have come in under the rubric of liberalism, James.
But when we come back, we're going to take a trip from Birmingham to New Orleans, another majority chocolate city, as I believe
Former
mayor, who is, I believe, in federal prison now.
Corruption. Ray Nagin. Yeah.
I can't believe a guy like that would be guilty of corruption. But we're going to find out what's happening in New Orleans. Do you think it's going to be good or bad? You know. And we're going to give you the details right after this.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Listen, do you hear that sound? It started low, but it's getting progressively louder. Into a crescendo, even louder. Irresistible, ending in an ear-splitting blast of mass disruption. That's the sound of America's economic and political systems crashing to the ground. But we have a plan. We will be ready to restore political sanity. We will be ready to answer the call of productive America. We will restore America's industrial base and put America back to work. We will shut down political correctness and restore decency and positive media to America. We will save our Constitution, our traditional way of life, our customs, and religion. We will restore sound money and crush the debt-based system of monetary slavery. And we will end America's foreign misadventures. We are the American Freedom Party, and we have a plan. Learn more about us, theamericanfreedomparty.us.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin MacDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the Political Cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQOnline.com and click on Subscribe Now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQOnline.com. Subscribe now.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Christmas indeed, ladies and gentlemen. Only, 6 days away? 6 days away. I mean, can you believe it? And I guess we say that every year, but my goodness, it seems like it's
sure sneaks up
really come up fast this year. But I'm looking forward to it. And, you know, we'll be here with you next week, a day after Christmas. No rest for the weary. We'll be here for a great holiday weekend show next Saturday, every Saturday, of course. But we're not taking off the day after Christmas. No, we'll be here, and we hope that you'll be here with us. You know, I really wish we could spend the rest of the hour, the rest of the show tonight, just playing these Christmas carols and talking about how great our audience is. But I guess we have to give a little bit more than that in order to call it a day.
Reality intrudes.
Day at the office. I came, or in the studio, as the case may be. I came across an interesting quote that I'd like to share with you. Multiculturalism has always been animated by the left-wing resentment of and hostility toward the European inheritance. I think that was a pretty interesting quote and right on the money. Well, as promised,
let me add something to that.
Sure.
We are constantly berated in white countries like the United States of America and in Europe for what the left has termed cultural appropriation. We apparently appropriate things like yoga from the East, or we appropriate other things like music from black people and things like this. And that shows what low-down rotten scoundrels we are. But when you think about it, everything that animates people to come to America, come to Europe, all of the blessings that we associate with living in the 21st and 22nd now century, you know, all of that comes is a cultural appropriation from European people, white people, things like your cell phone, things like your computer, the internet, telephones, electricity, gas and heat and oil, all of this, you know, all the comforts that we have, automobiles, airplanes, all of this stuff, as it is used by the rest of the world, is a cultural appropriation from us. And why is that never mentioned, James?
To ask the question is to answer, Keith, I guess. Was that rhetorical?
It shows that basically you shouldn't take any of these criticisms seriously because they are just excuses dreamed up, ginned up by the enemies of white people.
All right, so in Birmingham, we just shared with you the mayor and one of the councilmen got into a brawl right there in the middle of...
And white people had nothing to do with it. There were no white people in the vicinity.
Right. I mean, no, they had nothing to do with
it.
They
were not participants in any of this.
Typical behavior, unfortunately, sadly. And so we moved from Birmingham to New Orleans, as we promised, in a move that shocked no one who followed what's been going on here in Memphis, Selma, and Birmingham. The majority black New Orleans City Council has voted to declare the Robert E. Lee Monument in New Orleans a public nuisance. They're going to have it removed. Actually, there's four Confederate monuments there at Lee's Circle, and they're all going to be removed thanks to a vote taken just a couple of days ago in New Orleans. The New Orleans City Council voted 6-1 to remove four Confederate monuments after a debate, declaring the Civil War era statues and obelisk a public nuisance. Mayor Mitch Landrieu called for the monument's removal, saying, quote, "We, the people of New Orleans, have the power and a right to correct these historical wrongs." Okay, so this city is expected to emerge from this controversy slightly more blighted and slightly more polarized than it was before. New Orleans, Birmingham, and Memphis have the honor of being the three most violent cities in the United States, and the government, to no surprise of anyone listening to this show, of all three cities, is controlled by black majorities that prefer to tolerate the murder of other blacks in those cities, and drive-by shootings and gang warfare, which is an everyday occurrence in each of those cities. But they will not stand for a Confederate monument. And just this last month, 17 people, including teenagers and young children, were shot on a playground during a block party in New Orleans. These mass shootings are now so common in New Orleans that it is no longer considered newsworthy to the rest of the country. But by God, rather than tackling black-on-black crime, black-on-white crime, black crime in general, we must remove a statue of the greatest American who ever lived, Robert E. Lee, right there in New Orleans. And so it just goes to show, Keith, demographics is destiny. Demographics is everything.
Well, it's like this. Going to the doctor and you're diagnosed with colon cancer, stage 4 colon cancer, and the doctor opting to use all his efforts to treat your acne. Okay? This is, you talk about cultural appropriation. They have taken over the public parks and public spaces, and they've decided to banish any celebration of white heritage in these cities. The historical heritage of these cities that made them great cities in the first place. The cities are now in decline under black leadership and with a black majority, and nobody wants to face up to it. In fact, if you even face up to it, they now have a word for people that dare to criticize the prevailing mantra or message about progress in these cities and say there's no progress being made at all. In fact, things are going backwards. That's called, anything except effusive praise of black people is now called a microaggression. A microaggression is saying something that is anything except gushingly effusive praise about black people. And if you say anything that is in the least bit critical, like, for example, last week, Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia suggested that in the affirmative action case, black students might be better off if they were put into slower track classes in universities rather than being thrust by affirmative action into places like Harvard and Yale where they can't keep up. And that's been proven by their actual grades. That's nobody's opinion. That's what is happening there. He was accused of racism, and his very comments were cited as a microaggression that will not be tolerated. Free speech and freedom of thought and association and expression are no longer to be tolerated in America under our new totalitarian liberal regime, James.
No, they're not. And I'll tell you, if I had complete dictatorial powers, I would not waste my time harassing people who worship at the altar of Martin Luther King. Now, I would certainly cancel the holiday, and I would certainly take it out of curriculum in public schools and any school, for that matter, if I had supreme powers, that they be taught to worship and hold up as a demigod this plagiarist,
flawed individual,
this philanderer, this degenerate Martin Luther King. But if you wanted to build a monument to him for whatever reason, you know, I wouldn't come tear it down, and I wouldn't go to his grave and try to dig up his bones like they're trying to do with a legitimate American hero, Nathan Bedford Forrest, right here in Memphis. I just wouldn't do that. That's not in me. But you see where the real hatred is coming from, ladies and gentlemen. And you see, I tell you, what happened in New Orleans, Keith, really would lead someone to believe that it is just incompatible to believe that different races with different heroes and different cultures and different traditions and different beliefs would ever be able to live in the same space in peace and harmony.
Because, well, see, they say they're the mavens and the champions of toleration. They tell you to celebrate diversity. When they get control, they are the least tolerant and the least liable to celebrate someone else's diversity of any other group. Basically, what you see happening in America today is an expression of what we've said on this show for years, that when white people become the minority, minority rights immediately become a thing of the past. When whites are a majority, you better bow down to their at their altars, you better burn incense to Martin Luther King, rename streets after him, have some type of public park named after him, name all sorts of things, a courthouse or whatever, after him, or you are a racist. On the other hand, you don't get this equality of principle. In other words, when blacks come after Robert E. Lee, when a black mayor and black city council decide that they're going to remove the statues of Robert E. Lee and other Confederate heroes, you will search in vain in the mainstream media for any type of criticism of this. Although if some white city decided to rename a Martin Luther King Boulevard, all hell would break
loose. Oh, God, it would be the seventh level effect. I mean, no one would dare. And they don't dare because they don't have a sack.
But we do.
And we're trying to let other people know it's okay to grow one, too. Hey, we'll be back with Scoop Stan right after this.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Born to raise the sons of earth.
right, everybody. Welcome back. Our last show before Christmas. Can you believe it? Another year come and just about gone. And this will be your last time to hear Scoop Stanton before Christmas. But don't get too upset. You'll hear him the day after Christmas when we're back on the air a week from tonight. Scoop actually stayed. Before you go into your commentary tonight, Scoop, you stayed at a hotel right there near where the government of New Orleans is desecrating the Confederate monuments. Am I right?
Yep. I stayed at the, I think it was called the Hotel Europe or the European Hotel. But I took pictures of Lee Circle. It's right in downtown New Orleans. So it's not in some neighborhood of color. But anyways, New Orleans, I guess, is all fixed up after Sandy and the crime problem solved and the traffic problem solved. And the sewage problem is solved, and the flooding problem is solved, so they can worry about the 100-plus-year-old statues.
Oh, that's right. That's a great point. You're just like Memphis, they've gotten all the problems. It's so great that cities like New Orleans and Memphis have no crime, they have no problem with unemployment, they have no problem at all worthy of the mayor and the city council's attention, except for the desecration of Confederate monuments. So I'm glad that New Orleans is in such good shape. This is all they have to contend with.
But when they do confront their problems, it's always because of white racism that they have these problems.
Well, that's right. And I'd like to see them do without the white people of New Orleans and see what happens. All right, Scoop, over to you. It's all yours. The floor is yours for tonight's report.
Okay, thank you, James. Good evening, Critical Cesspools family. Tomorrow, we recognize it has been 1 year since we lost two of New York's finest, Officers Wen Jin Liu and Rafael Ramos, who were gunned down while enjoying a well-deserved break in a police car by Ismail Brinsley, protecting people of color in one of New York's housing projects. The Political Cesspool was one of the very first media outlets to report this tragedy. New York correspondent Sean Bergen was live at Woodhull Hospital, where the heroes were transported to. We were the very first to coin the phrase "war on police." These were first we could do without. This is one of the saddest shows we ever did. I'd be lying to you if I said I wasn't misty-eyed while doing the broadcast. Since December 20th, 2014, 38 members of the law enforcement community were gunned down. All these shootings had one thing in common: lack of respect for police. Harris County, Texas Deputy Darren Goforth was gunned down putting gas in his patrol car. This is thanks to the media, politicians, and Black Lives Matter. The media's responsibility is responsible for dead cops in our streets, as for years they have been looking to accuse the police of everything: racism, brutality, racial profiling, destroying the Black family, and so forth. Police are never given the benefit of the doubt, let alone support, even performing the job 100% within departmental guidelines. Just look at Eric Casebolt. Of course there's abuse and misconduct, but name one profession where there isn't. This is the same media that tells us Americans don't need guns because we have the police to rely on. Politicians have been using cops as their whipping boy for years. It's not just chief executives and representatives trashing the police. District attorneys, attorney generals, and even some police chiefs have gotten into the game. Of course, President Obama is the main offender. His silence on these killings is deafening. Former Attorney General Holder and New York Mayor Bill de Blasio also have blood on their hands. Not to be outdone, Baltimore City State Attorney Marilyn Mosby is leading a witch hunt going after six innocent Baltimore cops. The media has had a hand on the war on cops after the death of Lou and Ramos. For months, we were bombarded with "hands up, don't shoot." It was for all Ferguson all the time. We were told Mike Brown was an innocent, cherubic, gentle giant who I nicknamed Professor Mike Brown, because the left wing kept showing the high school graduation photo of Brown. We were told Darren Wilson was a racist, brutal thug. Then we were told that Eric Garner, a father of six suffering from asthma, was attacked by the cops for no reason, and the cop put an illegal chokehold on Garner. On top of that, we have to look at Black Lives Matter propaganda shoved down our throat. Black Lives Matter is nothing more than a group of good-for-nothings hell-bent on turning our streets into police-free zones paved with dead cops. Black Lives Matter held a protest in Minnesota asking, "What do we want?" The response was, "Pigs in a blanket." On December 14, 2014, protesters in Manhattan were chanting, "What do we want? Dead cops. When do we want them? Now." To be fair, it is not known if this was Black Lives Matter or another group. But Black Lives Matter never gave condolences to the families of Lou, Ramos, Goforth, Moore, Holder, and the rest. Nor have they publicly condoned violence. Needless to say, the Black Lives Matter movement platform has been adopted by the Democratic National Committee and the mainstream media. In case you didn't know, the Black Lives Matter movement is being funded by none other than George Soros. But all is not lost. Besides this show, you have media types such as Michael Savage and my good friend Charlie Duff telling their respective audiences that blue lives do matter. You also have law enforcement types such as Sheriff David Clark from Milwaukee County, Wisconsin, and Sergeant Chuck Wells from Arkansas shining a light on the problem. Not so surprisingly, the only politician raising awareness is a non-politician. Donald Trump, in a very different speech, very less animated and much more serious than the Wall of Mexico speech, said he wants to sign an executive order making killing a police officer a federal crime punishable by death. Meanwhile, on social media, there are civilians joining countless groups supporting law enforcement and telling the guys and girls in blue that they, civilians, have their six or have their back. How far down in society have we gone where citizens feel the need to protect those charged with ensuring law and order? Recently, I went to the Law Enforcement Officers Memorial in downtown Washington, D.C., where the names of every law enforcement officer killed in the line of duty was etched in stone. It was like the Vietnam Memorial, except this wall has some blank space for more names. Yes, law enforcement will always be a dangerous profession. The names of Brian Moore, Darren Goforth, and Randolph Holder has not made it on the wall yet, but Detective Lou Ramos are. I do not know what the future holds, but I hope the next president doesn't pander to the Black Lives Matter crowd, so I don't have to read so many names so often. James, back to you.
Scoop, great commentary. I remember that show, of course, a Black Lives Matter adherent in Maryland, I believe, either sent out a text or received a Facebook message and or transmitted it saying that he was going to go kill two pigs. And he drove up to New York and he shot those two officers, Lou and Ramos. And it just so happened that as that was occurring real time, we had Sean Bergen on the ground up there in New York, who reported live on the political cesspool outside of the hospital where those two officers were taken after they were shot by a hatred-filled black thug. We had him on reporting live before any of the media. The political cesspool scooped the entire national media on that story, thanks to Sean Bergen. But we wish, of course, that we hadn't done that, because we wish, of course, that incident hadn't occurred. But with regards to the Black Lives Matter getting codified in the Democratic National Committee's platform, that the Democratic Party will support these terror, I think they're just more than an anti-white, anti-police hate group. I think you could certainly qualify them as a terrorist group, Black Lives Matter, with what they've done and what we've seen. And getting back to cops, Keith, I want to get your opinion on this. You know, when America was a majority white country, when everybody in America had a gun, and you don't have to go back too far, just the 50s and 60s will do, cops back then were really like, for the most part, beat cops like you see on the Andy Griffith Show. That was really what cops were like back in the 50s when you had a high-trust, all-white society, a well-armed society. Now that we're blessed and enriched with so much diversity and multiculturalism, you have to have police out there in Ferguson and with full military tactical gear. They look like a Roman phalanx. This is progress, right?
Well, this is the new multicultural America. I remember just in the sphere of public education, the main problems in 1950, when they made a list of problems in public education regarding conduct of students, it was things like talking out loud in class or chewing gum or being in the hallway without a proper pass. Now it's rape and murder. Most inner city school systems have to have their own police force patrolling each and every public school, and they have metal detectors at the entrances.
Right here in Memphis, Keith, on Covington Pike, you have Craigmont Middle School and Craigmont High School. And there, you know,
and that's semi-suburban, by the way.
It's semi-suburban. It's on the outskirts of suburbia. It's in the Memphis city limits, but it's a majority black school. And you're right. I mean, not murder, but stabbings and fights and certainly rape have occurred. And that's just, you know, it's not
and
even
some,
newsworthy.
And some suspicious souls think that the reason these schools now have their own police forces rather than relying on the police is that they don't want all of the crime that is happening in those schools reported publicly as they would be if they were having to be responded to by the police department. They like to sweep these things under the rug, like these assaults on teachers, sexual assaults and physical assaults.
Oh, right. I mean, school, if you ever see the Tom Berenger movie, The Substitute, I mean, that's really pretty much how it is in some of these hardcore gangbanger, majority black, majority Latino schools. And it's just a shame. I tell you, if the black community would listen to true leaders like Jesse Lee Peterson,
who's maybe, coming up next.
You stole my thunder. Maybe it would be a lot better. It couldn't be worse. Scoop, thank you for your report tonight. As always, my friend, Merry Christmas. We'll talk to you next week. We'll be back with our featured guest of the night right after this.
Don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.